Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're finding out what the Bible tells us new life in Christ looks like. So let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 31, for a message called "The Truth Will Set You Free," as we go back to basics.
Verses 31 and 32, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed in him, 'If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.'" You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Great words, wonderful promise. These words are often quoted by people who have no idea who spoke them or what their actual meaning really is. Case in point, in a recent crime show episode, the perpetrator quoted these words to assure his accusers that when the truth came out, he would be set free. Well, the truth did come out, and he went to prison. So didn't work quite like he thought it was going to work. But I don't know about you, but I seriously have heard many, many times over the years, sometimes in a TV program, or sometimes listening to somebody, in a talk show or something, or just generally hearing people out in public quote these words: "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And most of the time, they really don't even know who they're quoting or what the actual context or application is. Now, these words are not referring to truth in general, or to freedom in general, but rather to God's truth found in the Bible and freedom from the power of sin. Now, that's the context there. Jesus is saying you're going to know the truth if you abide in my word. You're going to know the truth of God's word, and that truth then is going to set you free, and the context here is it's going to set you free from sin. Now, what I want to do is I want to take this verse and I want to look at it, the promise here: "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." I want to look at it in relation to the great themes of Scripture and see how knowing these great truths will set us free. So rather than focusing on the immediate situation here, let's sort of broaden it. And we can do that. We have freedom to do that. The application is certainly broader. But thinking about the great themes of Scripture, and of course, there are many great themes. So I've just chosen five themes that we can just briefly look at today, beginning with the truth that we are supremely loved. We are supremely loved. Do we understand that? Do we know the magnitude of God's love for us? God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah. He said, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." And of course, the original or the context there is a reference to God's love for the nation of Israel. But nevertheless, it extends beyond them. It certainly has application to us, his people as well. God has loved us with an everlasting love. Jesus said that greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And then he went ahead and he did that very thing. And we're told in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, that Jesus Christ loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That is love. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that God's love is so great, it's deeper, it's wider, it goes beyond our comprehension. We can't even fathom the magnitude of God's love for us. Now, when you know that you're loved, there's something about that that is just so wonderful. When you know you're loved, it frees you up from all kinds of things. And one of the things that it frees us from is it frees us from fear. So often we live in fear. Some people say they're not afraid of anything. I don't believe that. We all have fears. And occasionally, even the bravest among us are going to be fearful over something. But if we understand the magnitude of God's love for us, that sets us free from any kind of bondage to fear. The Bible speaks of fear as having torment. And that's exactly what happens, isn't it? When we're fearful of something, we're anticipating something, we're tormented by those fears. But the scripture tells us that the person who fears has not been made perfect in love, because perfect love casts out fear. The idea there is that the person who's fearful, living in a state of fearfulness, is a person who hasn't understood the depth of God's love for them. You know, I can best identify with love and with the freedom and security and all that that brings through my own love for my children and even more today, my grandchildren. I still love my children today, but they're older and grown up. And, you know, you don't show your love to them in the same way when they're adults, unless you want to publicly embarrass them, which I occasionally like to do. But my grandsons, my four grandsons, I learned so much about God's love through that love that I have toward my kids and my grandkids. I see my grandchildren and they don't have to do anything. I just love them. And regardless of what they're doing, they can be in naughty mode and I love them. You know, sometimes they're very naughty, and Cheryl and I look at each other like, oh, aren't they so cute? Aren't they so adorable? And, you know, it's just that love that overflows. And this is the kind of love that God has for us. God looks at us, and he loves us. Now, we know the Bible says that God loves the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. But the world outside, even though the world's loved by God, most people in the world don't experience that love because they're outside of that place of being able to actually experience it, even though it's there. But we have been brought in through faith in Christ, and God loves us all together collectively as his family. But listen, God loves each one of us individually as well. God loves you. Just right here today, who you are, and whatever your perception of yourself is, and whatever other people might think of you, it doesn't matter, because God loves you. And he loves you with an everlasting love. And that truth of God's love for you is intended by God for many things, but one of them is to deliver you from fear, to set you free from fear, knowing that you're so loved. My wife often tells me that my love for her has made her a very secure person. And that's what love does. It brings security to us. When we know that we're loved, when we know that we're accepted, when we know that we're not going to be rejected, when we know that there's just that constant love there for us, it just does something wonderful to us. And I have that mutual experience with my wife as well. I know she loves me. I have absolute confidence in that. I don't have fears that, oh, well, what if she met somebody else? What if she ran off with another guy or something? I don't live with those fears, because that love that she has for me has cast out those fears. And so likewise with God, his love for us sets us free from a life of fear, sets us free from a life of insecurity, gives us that solid ground to stand upon, that confidence. We know that we're loved. And in that love, as I was saying, in that love, there's just such freedom. Going back to, I'll tell some grandkids stories today, I guess, but going back to my grandkids, my second grandson, he's 6 years old now. But when he was a little guy, when he was born, he lived up in Northern California, so we didn't get to see him too often. We would visit occasionally. But a few years ago, they moved back down, and, you know, he didn't know us that well. And when he would come over to our house, he would, you know, it was really hard for him to warm up to us, and he kind of tended to just want to hold on to his mommy real tight and all of that. And, you know, it was one of those seasons where we're like, oh, this little guy, you know, we just want to break through and be able to pick him up and hug him and cuddle him and kiss him. And, you know, he just wasn't going to have that. Who are these strange people? I don't know you. Don't, you know, don't get too friendly. But as time went on and, you know, he got to realize who we were. Now we are just the greatest people in the world as far as he's concerned. And we can do anything. I can just pick him up and smother him with kisses. And he wants to be with grandma as much as he can. And but the thing is, you know, now he comes into our home and this is his home. You know, he just walks in, opens the refrigerator. What do you have to eat, grandma? Grandma, make me this. Oh, you know, he goes over and he plays with the toys. You know, he just does anything he wants. He has absolute freedom. He knows these people love me. I can do whatever I want here. You know, God wants us living in the consciousness of his love for us, not walking around fearful all the time. Oh, does God love me today? Is God upset with me today? Have I disappointed him? Have I let him down? Has he changed his mind? No, he loves you. He loves you more than you can imagine. And that's one of those great truths that sets us free. Secondly, there is the truth that we are saved by grace. We're saved by grace. Now, we know that, right? We know that. We say that. But, you know, I think quite often we know it more theoretically than practically. But again, let me remind you, the scripture tells us, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Paul writing to the Ephesians. And then to Titus, Paul said, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy that he saved us. And when we realize that we have been saved by grace, you know what that does? It sets me free from the burden of trying to save myself. It sets me free from the burden of hoping that I will ultimately be good enough to be accepted by God. And that's a heavy weight. That's a burden. That causes a person to be weighed down, trying to save yourself, hoping that in the end it's all going to work out, hoping that you're going to be good enough. That's a weight that God doesn't want us to bear. And the fact of the matter is, we can't be good enough. Sometimes we say, well, you know, I just don't feel good enough to be accepted by God or to have his salvation. Well, the fact of the matter is, you're not. Nor am I. None of us are. If we were good enough, or if we even had the potential to be good enough, Jesus never would have died on the cross. Paul tells us, if there was some sort of a law by which we could be justified, then Christ died for nothing. If there was some way that we could work ourselves to heaven, if we could work ourselves into God's favor, then we didn't need Jesus to die. But the fact that he died shows that we never could have done it. And God saves us by his grace. And this frees us from that burden. I remember some years ago, a friend was dying. And as I was speaking to him, and he eventually did come to really accept Christ and be trusting in Jesus for his salvation. But in the early stages of conversation with him, he knew he was dying. There was no question about it. And he was thinking about the future. He was thinking about the afterlife. He was wondering about heaven. And he was telling me the things that he had done that he thought might be helpful in getting him into heaven. And he was, I remember he was just grasping at any little thing that he could remember, anything that had any semblance of goodness that he did. He was grasping at that. And he was telling me some of the things he did. And I remember at the time thinking, oh, Lord, help this man. Help this man to come to know your grace. And he was tormented at that time. Because even though, you know, he was grasping, he knew that what he was holding out to God really wasn't much. We're saved by grace. That's the great truth. We have been saved by grace, and that sets me free to know that, you know, I'm saved. I meet people so often who have been saved even for years, but they're still fearful. They're still concerned that, well, you know, I know I've been a Christian for a long time. I've been in church for many years, and I've served the Lord, but I just don't know if I'm going to finally make it. Hey, you're going to make it. Because Jesus made sure of that. Because he saved you by grace. Not through your works. Not through what you've done, but because of what he's done. And what did you do? You just simply trusted that. Remember in John's gospel here, back in the fifth chapter, they come to Jesus and they say, what work can we do to do the work of God? We want to do something for God. We want to work our way into God's favor. How do we do that? Jesus said, this is the work of God. Believe in the one that he has sent. That's grace right there. Jesus did the work. We believe in what he did. And that sets us free from that burden. Another great truth that sets us free is the truth of regeneration, or otherwise known as the new birth. We have been born again. And to understand the implications of that is so liberating. Let me remind you of what we're talking about here. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, the second epistle, chapter 5, verse 17, he said, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. That's what regeneration is all about. They are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Peter said it like this, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The great truth of the new birth, what does that set me free from? Listen, it sets you free from the past. The past. Oh, thank God that we can be set free from the past. Isn't it the past that so often is the problem in the present? What happens when a person goes to a psychologist? Because, you know, they're messed up and they're trying to sort things out. They want to figure out why they think the way they think and behave the way they behave. And they're obviously unhappy with that. And probably people around them are unhappy. So they go for counseling. They go for help. And where does the psychologist take them? First, takes them to the past. Okay, let's go to the past. Let's talk about the past. What was your upbringing like? What was your childhood like? And what were your parents like? And, you know, all of these things about the past. Well, of course, the problem with the past is it's past. We can't go back and change it, can we? But here's the great news. Old things pass away. Regeneration is a new birth. It's a new life. That's what Jesus said. You must be born again. You need to have a new life. That's what we need. And that's exactly what we get through regeneration. We get a new life. We are a new creation. And so those old things that sometimes we're still haunted by, the guilt that we feel over our past sins, all of those sins have been forgiven. They've been forgiven. And God said, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Our sins and our iniquities, he remembers them no more. Those are wonderful truths that set us free. Because what the devil does is he always dredges up the past. He's always bringing up stuff from sometimes decades ago. Oh, remember this? Oh, what about that? And you did this, and you said that, and you thought this, And, you know, it could be so many things. And he's right there to remind us of those things. And then there we are, we're thinking, well, how could I even be a Christian? How could God love me? How could I possibly be saved? If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All those sins have been forgiven, and everything has become new. You see, God gives us in regeneration, he gives us a new life. He gives us a new nature. We become partakers of the divine nature, according to Peter. And we have this new opportunity that's given to us. The power of sin is broken that once held us captive, and God sets us free now for a new life. And if we understand that, if we know the truth of having been born again, when the temptation comes and when the enemy says to us, oh yeah, look at that, you know, you might as well do it because that's who you are. Remember your past. That's what you were into. You say, no, I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away. That's who I was, but that's not who I am now. I'm a new creation. And so the wonderful truth of regeneration. And then we have the wonderful truth of the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Paul, in writing to the church in Rome, he said, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that set us free from? It sets us free from exasperation due to the inability to live to the glory of God. Man, so many people are worn out trying to live up to this standard, trying to be the best Christian I can possibly be, working so hard at it, but exasperated by it, exhausted, and feeling constantly that I'm coming up short, I'm failing. You know, I got to say this. You know, a lot of times today, sometimes when I'm listening to preaching, I'm thinking, you know, we're supposed to build each other up. We're not supposed to beat each other up. You know, quite often when we come in here, you know, we're pretty beat up as it is, right? You get the beating out in the world, and you know, you've struggled with the condemnation, and you've struggled with the guilt, and you probably failed a few times this week, and you know, so you just come in here beat up. Man, patch me up, you know, strengthen me. And then sometimes you go to church and you just get a double beating. You know, you get beat even more. Hey, we need to build each other up. And this is what the Word of God does. The Word of God builds us up. It strengthens us. It reminds us, look, it's not you in the first place. You don't have the strength, but Christ has the strength, and he dwells in you, and the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal body to give you the power to do what you can't do, to give you the victory over sin through his power working in your life. I can now live with victory over sin through the power of the Spirit. That's how I live with victory over sin.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Brodersen. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The Truth Will Set You Free, and the resource number is OBB562. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Our God, you reign forever. Our hope.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.